Good morning. Yes, I am responsible for the blank sheets of paper in front of you, and it was wonderful to see how many different people turned it back and forth and said, is it invisible ink? Is it reappearing ink? I appreciate Brother Aaron's, only the really spiritual can read what's written. Yes. Here is our memory verse. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. You can see our weekly reading as well. And then let's make a confession together from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Feel free to write what is meaningful to you. I don't like to necessarily do the same thing each and every time because I tend to get numb in what I'm doing. I like to change things subtly so that I stay awake. And so that is what I want all of you to think about today, is be awake. Wake up to what is going on around you. Our primary scriptures today will be Jude and 2 Peter chapter 2. Before we pray, I have a small anecdote for you. I have a memory, and this shaped some of the message today, but I have a memory of driving through the mountains of Utah where I had a lot of family, and as a child with my parents. And these mountains are not like the mountains here. They are steep. They are incredibly tall. And these mountains in particular were jagged. There wasn't much vegetation. There weren't trees. This was kind of desert looking. And I remember seeing this particular sign repeatedly. And, well, this was the sign that I saw of danger falling rocks with a little car next to it. And I remember being concerned of, well, should I like move to the other side of the car? Why is nobody else? Why are we driving on this road? This seems rather dangerous. But what I want you to think of is this warning is something that we need to be aware of. Those falling rocks could kind of come at any point, and they were just a fact of driving in the mountains on the road. The life that we live here, there is a warning in Jude and 2 Peter that Jude and Peter want us to be aware of. And so we're going to look at that warning and be awake, be aware of what we're walking and driving into. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the time to gather, to worship you, to follow hard after you. I pray that your word would speak, that it would be resounding and pierce hearts. Lord, I pray that you would be made great in our eyes, that your warnings, your cautions would wake us up, Lord, to what you have, that we would see the dangers around us, and that we would cling to what is good. So, Lord, bless me that I may deliver your word and handle it rightly. All glory to you, King Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. So, join me in Jude, and I apologize if the print is small. I tried to jam a lot on there. But join me in Jude. Just go to Revelation and one before. Jude verse 3 and 4 reads like this, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. All the text up there is from the 1995 New American Standard. These translations between New King James and New American Standard, some of the verses will be rather different. So if it reads a little different in your copy of God's Word, you'll understand why. But Jude verse 3 and 4 reads as this. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I should preface this. I have wanted to give this message for some time, and it is not caused by any particular person, instance. It's not a direction in any way other than I see a caution here, a warning that we need to be awake for. So the only motivation for this message is purely, it's the Word of God, and we should know it. So, if anybody has any secret inklings of, I wonder if he's, no, there's nothing to wonder other than just, this is the Word of God, let us know it. So, let's talk about a few definitions here. There we go. This is talking about apostates. So what does that mean? And my title was Apostates and You, Caution. Let's make sure we have good terms, because you won't see that necessarily in the scripture. So we're going to look at verse 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. As we look through the scriptures, you'll see that these are not unbelievers in the sense that they have never heard the Word of God. They are not a struggling believer, somebody who is wrestling with sin and is convicted of it and just struggles. These are someone who has the understanding and appearance of a believer and rejects it and teaches others to do the same and leads others astray. That is an apostate. Somebody who would look like a sheep but be a goat. Somebody who would have the appearance of godliness. And now that person seems like a pretty good, solid guy or solid woman. And yet, inwardly, they reject the scriptures. They reject the teachings of God. So that is the caution. So Jude 5 through 7, tiny print, gives us three examples from biblical history that we can look at. Now I desire to remind you, though, you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example of undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. So he gives the caution of, hey, there are people who have crept in to the church that we should be cautious of. And then these past examples, he starts with the Israelites, people who he destroyed for those who did not believe. You can reference Numbers 14, 26 through 31 of the Lord saying, I'm going to destroy these people. But who were those people? Those were the ones he had saved out of Egypt, out of bondage. He spared them in Passover, Exodus 12. He led them through the wilderness as a pillar of cloud and fire, Exodus 13. He saved them again at the Red Sea when Pharaoh was closing in. He provided water and manna and meat in the wilderness. He appeared to them at Sinai. These were the people that he subsequently destroyed because they did not believe. That older generation. Then he gives the example of angels who abandoned their proper abode, and Sodom and Gomorrah who indulged in gross immorality. And Sodom, they could, in that city, they could not find 10 righteous people. Genesis 18. Has Abraham kind of, well, if there's like 50 people, would you not destroy it? If there's 50 righteous, what about 40? What about 30? Please, Lord, don't be mad at me. What about 10? If you just find 10 righteous people, would you not destroy the city? And Lord says, if I find 10 righteous people in there, I will not destroy the city. And he destroyed the city. And he had to drag Lot out of there. They indulged in gross immorality. And so, how do we know that these people from verse 4 have similar traits and things to be aware of? Verse 8, yet in the same way, these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. In the same way, these are things that we need to be aware of, to be cautious of. People that would teach the rejection of authority, defiling the flesh. It's okay to indulge in that little bit of sin. It's okay to do that, just a little. You have to be, that's dangerous. Those are dangerous words. You should handle them as such. I don't want you to be asleep. Because here's the thing. It's easy to go and see, well, those were the Israelites. That was Sodom and Gomorrah. Those were angels that the Lord had created who rejected his own authority. That was happened a long time ago. We live in a world that says, we live in a culture that says, you know what? You were born a girl, you can be a boy now. You were born a boy, you can be a girl now. It's okay for one man to marry another or a woman to marry another. That's okay. That's what our culture and our society says, which is a rejection of what the Word teaches, what the Lord has set up. We need to be aware of that because that is all around us. And just because we happen to live in the South does not mean that those things aren't at our fingertips. Who has a phone? Most of the adults, some of the youth. Who's ever watched TV, books, podcasts, audiobooks, fun entertainment, all of these things? Speak something. They tell a story. Sometimes those stories are rooted on scripture. Good stories. Most of the time, what our culture churns out is not fit for use, not fit to be listened to. Whether it's an out and out affront to the scriptures, to God, or something more subtle. Something that maybe kind of sort of has the appearance of being okay. And then afterwards you go, wait a minute. Were there two dads there? And you need to be aware. I don't want you to be asleep to the danger that surrounds you, to the falling rocks that might come. (Clears throat) This warning shows up more than once in the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, serves as Peter writing, hey, these false prophets are going to come. Jude deals with these false prophets, these apostates, these deceivers are here. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So what's the danger for us? That many will follow. The truth, the way of truth will be maligned, twisted, distorted, perverted. These false teachers in their greed want to exploit you. They want to take advantage of you. There is a promise here. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. There will be punishment for the heresies. But the caution for us is that there are wolves. There are dangers. There are those that have the appearance and yet are lying to you. And if you are asleep for it, you will be one of the many that follow their way of sensuality. Cling to the scriptures. Cling to what is good. Hold fast to the way of truth. So, what are we supposed to do then? What are we supposed to do with the fact that there's these wolves among us? There's two responses that I would like to put forward for your consideration. Again, I apologize for the small print. If you can't read it, I'll read it for us as well. We can become like Christ. We can follow hard after him. Jude 17, but you, beloved, remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 20 and 21, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Pray, wait, cling to the words that were spoken and written down by the apostles. Cling to them. Keep yourselves in the love of God. 2 Peter 1, 4 through 8. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. There you go, having escaped. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. So what does that do for us? For verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've yet to meet anybody who says, I would like to be useless and fruitless, and I want to just kind of be a wastrel. I want to know how to be fruitful in the knowledge of Christ. I want to know how to be useful. And that's what these things teach and build up. in all diligence, faith, moral excellence. Moral excellence, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. Each one of these things builds on each other. And we have a wonderful hierarchy and instruction on how to do each one of these things. Just like our memory verse says, if we do these things without love, it's useless. But in love, with love, we are not useless. We are not a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. We've not given ourselves over to the fire for nothing. They render us fruitful in the knowledge of Christ. So I said, this is one option, one response for our consideration of what we can do here. Really, I only see two options. And you'll notice here that I did underline and bold a few things that stood out to me. So as you're jotting notes, you can either underline in your copy of God's Word or write them down. But I really only see two responses. We can't straddle the middle of these. The other response that I see is that we would become like them, like the apostates. And while that might give some of you a bit of pause, I do not see any halfway points in following Christ. You are either in or you are out. You are either committed, following, imperfectly, by faith, or you're not. These apostates were not numb to the scriptures. They were not ignorant of Christ. Jude 12 through 13. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Jude 16, these are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Jude 19, these are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. These are complainers. These are the ones who find fault in everything. Doubly dead, uprooted. Clouds without water. Maybe it's because I have a garden and a farm. When I see dark clouds on the horizon, I generally don't get upset. I go, sweet, I don't have to water the garden. I don't have to stand out there with a hose. I am excited because the rains bring life. There's the hope and promise of something good, of rain coming down to water the earth and bring life. If I go up to a tree at Scott's Orchard in the fall and it's apple season, and I walk up to a tree and see no apples, it has the appearance of fruit. It has the appearance of and promise of something good, and yet it is empty. It is devoid. This should be a caution to us. If there is no fruit in your life with regards to the knowledge of Christ, you should be concerned. You should be aware. Prayer, fasting, acts of mercy, acts of love, tenderness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruits of the Spirit. If you don't have any of those, even just small ones, you should be concerned. The fruits of God's Spirit are wonderful. No one ever meets somebody and goes, man, that guy is, he's kind. Ugh, that's weird. Patience, kindness, those are the attributes of God that His Spirit puts in us, gifts to us. Be awake to the dangers that are called out here, because these are the people who crept in unnoticed. Be aware. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 through 21. These are springs without water and mists driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. They promise them something more. No, there's a little bit more. Just, you can ignore that part of Scripture, and there's more life to be had over here. Shame on them. And their shame will be brought forth to bear. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than having it known to turn away from the holy commandment handed to them. The last state has become worse than the first. This is the danger of the apostate, the one who knows and yet turns away and then teaches others to do the same. That's the danger of what you need to be aware of. Grumblers, revilers, arrogant, flatterers, fault finders, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. I don't mean any of this to sound as finger wagging in any kind of way at anybody here. But this is the Word of God. This is the caution that we are to see. And it's not just one abstract verse. 2 Peter is the caution that it's coming. Jude is the arrival that it's here. Be aware. It didn't just end in first century Christianity. It has lived on and morphed and changed and is just as much here as anywhere else. Be aware and be rooted in the Scriptures. Cling to what is good. Abhor what is evil. So, what are we contending for? Jude 3 has this wonderful sentence. While I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, which is what Jude wanted to write about in the first place. Hey, I would rather write about our salvation. Instead, I've got this warning that I've got to give you. But it's that common salvation, which was the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. That's what Jude would have wanted to spend most of his time writing about. Hey, here's this wonderful thing in salvation and the gospel, eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Instead, he spends most of his letter warning them, cautioning them of what's coming, or what's there, I should say. So what is this faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. I'll turn you to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 5. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. The gospel of Jesus Christ, repentance, forgiveness, salvation, life everlasting, with our glorious good Father. Not by any works of our own, by faith in Christ alone. We do not bring anything which earns us our salvation. There is no faith plus this thing gets you into heaven, because anything else demeans the work of Christ on the cross. He is most glorified in that his sacrifice was enough to cover us all. Nothing else, no extra thing, earns us that forgiveness. It is his gift to give. He calls us then to follow after him, not to earn salvation, because it is how he intended us to live and be and walk. In him, we have the fullness of life. We are empty without him, searching. But in him, we have life, life abundant, life to the full. I had said, and those definitions of an apostate were my own, so if anybody needs to argue with them or finds a better definition in Merriam-Webster or somewhere else, I humbly submit I am no word expert. But a struggling believer, one who repents and repents and repents and repents and is made in a process to conform to the image of God, is not an apostate because they continue to repent. Someone who teaches that we can live however we want because Jesus saved us and I can do whatever I want and it's all forgiven, that one is an apostate and one to watch out for, one to be aware of. We are not to put on our filthy rags. We are to toss them off and put on the righteousness of Christ. To the believers, to the called, this is meant for you to wake up, to not be asleep, to be aware, to not just go through life, I went to Sunday church, I feel good about myself, and then I went to work, and maybe I went to Wednesday night prayer. This is meant for you to wake up that each day, and especially now more than ever, radios, cell phones, podcasts, all have the opportunity to point you to Christ, but there is far more that is there to turn you away. The TV shows, I mean, this is especially pertinent to parents, to those that teach. Be aware. Don't just turn on the TV and walk away thinking, oh, I'm sure that show is fine. If you need to be an expert in some kid's show just to make sure that it is not filled with things that are detrimental to your kid's understanding of God, then watch the whole five seasons or whatever it takes so that you will be aware. Don't let those lies creep in. They are poison. So, how does Jude end? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time, now and forever. It is Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Do not walk out of here and go, I need to do more, I need to do better, I need to keep doing the first things. Repent, cling to the Lord. Don't walk out of here thinking that you should do it on your own strength. You will fail. Cling to the Lord. On Him, lean all your understanding. Look to Him for strength when you are just spent. Just cling to Him. He is more faithful and better and kinder than all of us combined. So cling to Him. You have an advocate. You have somebody who is willing. So cling to Him and repent. Believe that He is good. And not for our glory, but for His. His glory, blameless, with great joy. To Him be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Join me in prayer. Lord, I pray that Your word would pierce our hearts, that we would be awake to the dangers around us, that we would see with Your eyes, that we would fill our hearts, our minds with Your word, that we would write it on them. Lord, that we would lead lives as You called us to. Lord, how merciful and patient You are with us. Thank You for the abounding joys that You have set before us, the wonders and the glories that You give to us each day, the strength to persevere, the faith when we are weak. Thank You, Lord, for Your magnificent mercy. And I pray that Your name would be made great here. How marvelous You are, Lord Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.